Brother Daniel has taken his place, and he'll be in this discussion we'll have is 100 years for our panel. Why such a subject? As every good Bible student will know, I won't take much of your time up, and now I shall let the panel discussion take over with the moderator. 2014 is the 100th anniversary of Brother Russell's mentioning of what is the subject that's rather difficult for our discussion, and also for our friends who discuss this. Please present yourself, who you're from, where you're from. Daniel Carletta, Ludwigshafen's, Germany. And I'll also mention why I like the subject and why I'd like to participate in this discussion. Just as our title says, we are free Bible students, and we often look for the truth. We seek the truth. I'd like us that this discussion and the teachings of chronology, that we understand that in 2014 was to be the kingdom of God, and other happenings associated with that date, that this teaching will become part of our lively discussion, that we could all participate in it. That's my approach to it, and I seek the truth, but I'm not sure that I have 100% the truth. So I'll give my voice under discussion or any alternate thoughts. I'm from Andrei Wabida, come from Lviv, Ukraine. We are people of faith. Therefore, this subject takes a lot of discussion in the Bible. I think it has a foundation and is part of the food for this season. And we should draw our attention especially to this subject. Darius Grugin from Portland. Once upon a time, I was in Szanów in Poland. I must admit that when I saw this discussion, that in such a subject was discussed, we come from congregations that are close to each other, and we often discuss these verses. My desire is by this discussion, this subject and the chronology of the Bible will become dear in our hearts, and that we all carry a blessing from it that God gave, that in his word he has hidden various dates and days and what we should observe as the times and seasons, and how could we become more holy and how to bring it into our lives. And I think that is our purpose and the main purpose, that we cherish the Holy Script of the Bible. I'm Peter Greitzer from Częstochowa in Poland. I live in Poland. And as you see, although we speak in Polish, we shall represent different views from different parts of the globe, from Germany, from Ukraine as well. Why do I take this part in this discussion? Because I like numbers. Somehow I prefer to have numbers embedded in my mind. So it's sort of a natural feeling, natural curiosity about chronology. Something that has numbers, it makes it easy for me to put it together in my mind. And therefore, very eagerly, I am keen to participate in discussion. I would say that we should in brief say, what sort of an influence did chronology have from Brother Russell? Daniel, would you maybe talk about the early chronologies before Brother Russell took place and before he presented his chronology? ktoś mówi, czy nie?
Czy zmęczysz?
No. I am sure that Brother Russell wasn't the first person of the Christians who was interested in of the question of chronology. Some of them just examples I'm putting up on the board. That's chronology prior to the parousia, prior to the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac Newton. No, something's not working. My buzzer's... Oh, here we go. Okay. Isaac Newton, a known physicist. Towards the end of his life, he got interested in the Bible. And we often say that he often foretold the end of the world in our world. It's not really true. He was more about biblical chronology according to what was written in the Bible. How to put them in order. Therefore, he made a commentary on the Daniel's book, and he gave a few examples that 2067 will be the end of the world. So we don't have any real evidence or proof for it that Brother Russell knew anything about the views of Isaac Newton. Brother Russell mentions two other individuals who loved chronology. Lord Joseph Wolfe was one. He was a returned Jew to Christianity, and he thought that 2,300 nights would be the time that he worked in Asia. He did not know Miller. And he didn't know about Miller's prophecy. The 2,300 morning and evenings that he found from a Jewish rabbi. And he had this view that he expressed. And he thought 1844 was the end. But that's one more is one of the... Prior to Brother Russell, one of the main expectors of our Lord's kingdom, was William Miller. He was a Baptist minister who gave similar results of chronology after 2,300 years from Nehemiah, after that Christian believers thought that the kingdom would start about 1844. Joseph Wolfe and William Miller, it appears, had an influence on the chronology and the views that Brother Russell started to develop in his chronology. It's worthy to note Brother Russell did not... create his own chronology. He got it from another brother, and as he writes in one of his articles, it doesn't appear that Barber thought of it, but it was part of a pastor, Bowen, in England, and they together they worked out the chronology of 6,000 years. Why is this so important? Because this way of looking at history and describing the dates, he influenced Brother Russell to sell his five shops, get all his wealth, and to go and herald the return of our Lord Jesus. He didn't even have time to go and see Barber, but he asked that Barber come and come to him and cover his costs. But then he threw that aside and decided to proclaim the kingdom of God. So chronology appeared a bit later on, Brother Russell.
So Brother Russell received from Brother Barber, who was a sincere and consecrated person, although eventually he did reject the ransom. He received that chronology from him. Also, he understood that the time of trouble will last 40 years. Then in another article about the harvest siftings, he also mentioned something about a book, To the Three Worlds. But it doesn't mean that he rejected the chronology in his works, but really that he just didn't agree with all the fine points of Barber's chronology. So during Brother Russell's years of his mission, brethren from many countries of the world sent letters and suggesting that the end of the harvest and end of the gentle times is one and the same, and suggesting various places from the scriptures that directly or indirectly mention the number 40. That means that brethren all over the world were very supportive of that view, more even than Brother Russell himself. So in the fall of 1914, Brother Russell suggested that whereas the beginning of the harvest wasn't clearly marked, just like with selecting the disciples or the 40 years of the wilderness, it's possible that the harvest will end 6 months later. And he will also added that regardless of whether it will be 6 months or 6 years, he would be happy with the Lord's goodness. And at the same time, he added that perhaps the harvest was really over, and maybe now is time for the great company in the world. But in 1916, he stated that the 3.5 years of the Lord's activity was actually a preparatory time of the work of the harvest. And so he thought that the harvest would actually end in around 1918.
What other benefits could we draw from being interested in chronology? Well, it appears that what we spoke about, it goes towards predicting what will the future bring. And that's really the precept to it. What will be in the future? I think chronology is not only that. And I'd give such an example of this, if you just allow us to throw a few slides on. One of the verses that I recall that I read, it's to Hebrews chapter 11 and 9. By faith is adjourned in the land of promises, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles of Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. I thought that we never lived together, but it's symbolic. But one day, I took a draw myself a chronological line. How long did Jacob live? And it's also chronology. I looked at his birth date that I mentioned, and also his death. He lived 147 years, as we know. And then when I got a bit more involved, I noticed a few more of the happenings in his life. The return from coming out of Egypt, he was 137. There was the year of hunger when Joseph stood before Pharaoh, and when he had to gather the food. He was about 90 years old. He was about 90 or so years when Joseph was born, and Jacob served in Laban. Maybe he cheated his father and with his mother. Then he was over 70 years old. And when we picture these chronological table, as you saw on the slide, then we have some rather interesting things. The chronology, chronology is a gathering of events that help us understand many things. And therefore, I discovered, just by chance, when you look at the life of Isaac and Abraham, they also physically lived during this time when Jacob and Isaac were about the promised land. And when I drew this, the periods chronologically of time, and I got a lovely lesson from this. I got a lovely lesson that really they lived by faith, and that they came to the promised land. the chronology is a teaching that doesn't just foretell the future. I also drew a similar table to you, and the one brother showed me that you can turn it around the other way and start from Joseph, and I never saw it before. And this brother drew my attention to this, that you can slightly differently draw this table, starting from Joseph. I don't question that you can. Chronology can be interpreted different ways, and this formulas that we use. But what's important to me is this verse to the book of Hebrews took a totally different meaning to me. Jacob was 15 years old when his grandfather Abraham died. So he could have learnt a lot from Abraham and many very important lessons in his life. So it's not only just foretelling, but it's also, as soon as we see something with our minds, we want to use it to foretell a future, but it's not chronology in that sense. Sometimes when you speak to other brethren, you'll see many different lessons from, maybe not in all congregations discuss chronology, and maybe the younger generation has a problem with defining chronology. To get the elementary dates, 1874 and 1914, and also the awaitings at those times. Can we look at the presentation again, please? We shall speak about five chronological periods of 6,000 years, spiritual and fleshly Israel, the house of Israel, Jubilees, Daniel's days, and the times of the Gentiles.
Let's present the chronology of the 6,000 years first. Excuse me. The method that Brother Russell has accepted, which is explained in the second volume of the Studies in the Scriptures, and we'd like to say this very openly and also show some sincere objections or possible options. So, Brother Russell, perhaps it's not as clear as we'd like, but Brother Russell tried to count the years or connect the years that passed from the creation of Adam to the first year of our era, because from that point on we can count the years reliably, and therefore we can tie the chain, chronological chain, from the creation to our times. And the basic assumption was that the period would last 6,000 years, of course, until the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. So, of course, the first period is simple because there are genealogies, and how old was one person when his son was born. And so that was the case for several generations, 10-plus generations, and we can establish the line up until the flood, which was 1656 years. I think it's probably easier to see from further away. Similarly, with Abraham, 427 years, up to Abraham, the next period from the 75th year of Abraham's life to Sinai or the covenant is calculated based on Galatians, where the apostle says that from the covenant with Abraham to the covenant of the Sinai was 430 years. So from Mount Sinai to Saul, the king, to the first king of Israel, we count that we start the length of that time on the period of the judges, based on the Apostle Paul's statement in Acts in one of his sermons. He says that the Lord gave Israel judges for 450 years, but we know that there was a time that passed before judges, before the land was divided. So we have 450 plus 6 for the land division. Then we have the period of the kings from Saul to Zedekiah, which we calculate by summarizing the individual reigns of the kings. From Zedekiah to Cyrus, we assume 70 years of Babylonian captivity, as Jeremiah described it, and also the book of Chronicles. In Brother Russell's days, it was commonly understood that Cyrus reigned from 536 B.C., from 536 B.C., that was the first year of Cyrus's reign, which means that we now tie the biblical periods with our era, Christian era, and we can connect the further dates with it. So it is easy to summarize these periods together. We have 4,128. And so assuming that from the creation of Adam to a date in the future, there should be 6,000 years, we basically have to complete the number of 4,128 to some number that makes together 6,000. And you know that is 1872, so that means that in 1872 AD, according to this method of calculation, 6,000 years would be completed. However, this is not, unfortunately, the only way to calculate this time. This is not the only scriptural method, but here we show on this slide that if we count these periods differently, those periods indicated by these vertical lines, if we take away a number from them in order to keep that number 6,000, we have to add to the end of that line, and so the end of the 6,000 years moves or shifts to the right. So what are the different possibilities to reduce these different periods, subcomponents? The Jews believe that Abraham left the Ur of Chaldees not after Terah's death, but in his 135th year of his life, because he was the firstborn, and Terah was 70 years old when his firstborn was born, and then Abraham was 75 when he left Haran. And so we can reduce that period by 60 years. Now the period of 430 years is shortened by the Jews by 5 years, because they feel that the dwelling of Abraham in a foreign land was actually 400 years from Isaac's birth, which means we take away 5 years. The next period here that we had, from Sinai to Saul the king, if we assume, based on the book of Kings, that from the Exodus from Egypt to the fourth year of Solomon, it was 480 years, then that period is reduced by 100 years. So on the right hand, as you see, the number that of the difference is accumulating for us as we show these adjustments. We also have 15 years of the period of Kings, which we calculate by just summarizing the individual reigns, but perhaps some of us, even in this hall, have tried to add up these years, and it appears that some kings may have reigned together, or there may not have been anyone on the throne, and so calculating those synchronizations accurately may indicate a lack of about 50 years. Also the period of Babylonian captivity, but in today's history books, the date of destruction of Jerusalem was 586 B.C., so the difference is of 19 years. So the date of 536 B.C. is not sure. We also know about the significance of the year zero, that between the first year before Christ to the first year after Christ, it's actually just 1 year. but 1 plus 1 is actually 2, not 1. So as we know, each of the summarizations, each type of summarization of days before and after Christ will be affected by the difference of 1 year. And so we need to add that 1 year or adjust for that 1 year. So in the maximally reduced timeline, as an option, we could reduce this line by 235 years or shift it forward, shift the end of the 6,000 years forward. But there's also a possibility of extending these different periods. Some feel that the 430 years in Egypt was not long enough, and so they actually would add 210 years to this date, and so therefore the end of 6,000 years would be again affected. So in this very critical approach, we just want to indicate this quite openly, that the end of the 6,000 years could actually be possibly adjusted from 2107 forward to 1600s, the 1600s, I believe. The biggest problem is that it is the most difficult to really prove why it would be after 6,000 years that we should be expecting the kingdom. We don't have a clear scriptural statement on this, but if we could defend this, then we should say that between 1662 and 2107, between those 2 years, the period of those 6,000 years would be completed from the creation of man, and so perhaps we could consider this an accurate enough number, but all of us here at this table are engineers by education, and so we would like to have these numbers a little more precise.
What do we use this for? It's not always necessary, and exactness is not necessary, but in building a building, it is, where you have to get things to the exact millimeter and precisely, and certain measurements have to be sufficient, and we don't need to use precise measurements. Brother Andre, can you help us, can you address the spiritual and fleshly Israel? I will say, I know exactly what's in the second and third volume, and it all is centered on the nation of Israel was a picture for the spiritual nation, for God's people, for spiritual Israel. It came that the gospel, the Jewish age is rather a picture of the gospel age. The Jewish age is a picture of the gospel age, and the harvest of the Jewish age is a picture of the harvest of the gospel age. And from this, the length of the Jewish age, from the death of Jacob to the rejection of fleshly Israel, 1875 years after Christ. The length of the harvest was 70 AD, was 36 and a half years, or 40 years from the year AD 30. And so, Gospel Age, from 33 AD to 1878, is 1845 years again. And the harvest from 75 was 40 and a half years, or 40 years from 1874. And this shows that the Jewish age and the gospel age have the same length, 1,875 years in length, and then the harvest takes place. In 1916, Brother Russell, the harvest is not finished, in his article wrote that it's not possible to say that one harvest equals the same harvest. Why? Because in AD 70, the church was not chosen, as was to take place in 1914. Then he concluded that these parallels apply only to to nominal Israel. And we see that Brother showed us some parallels with the 7 years from the start of the Jewish age, harvest, and 3.5 years, and the 3.5 years. But brethren know all about this, so I won't be elaborating. Thank you. I would like to just shortly mention the teachings of Jubilee years. I'm sure all Bible students know the Jubilee year was the 50th year, and its function was in fleshly Israel, and we're all aware that this holy day means something for the future. In Israel, they observed Jubilee years, and Brother Russell noticed that there was 19 Jubilees that were observed, and all of a sudden it was broken due to Babylon captivity, and they didn't have the physical ability to observe the Jubilee. That is, Brother Russell noticed a dependence that we have 7 days, Sabbath day, 7 times 7, you have 49, which is 7 times 7 gives you Jubilee. 7 days of the week times 7 gives the holy 50th Jubilee. And Brother Russell noticed that possibly by multiplying 50 by 50 is a picture of something. And that is why he noticed that the loss to observe the Jubilee, and from that time he noticed, used that one big cycle, 50 times 50, or 2,500 years. And accepting this chronology, we will get the year 1874. Brother Daniel, do you want to say something, or are you just agreeing? Sorry. Sorry for the dream purpose. We have to notice that Brother Russell noticed 50 times 50 is the meaning, and it's not noted in the Bible that you can calculate such a numeric. So therefore, we start at 1874. That is accepted chronologically from what Brother Daniel gave us, and has someone can throw questions that it's not right. But I'd like to show a different method, that one mathematical calculation give a different result. And it happens in school when a teacher uses different methods to achieve, someone uses a different method to get the same result. I looked at this from a different view, and I'd like to present a different method. And I'd like the next slide. I said that Jubilee stopped from the destruction of Jerusalem. You know that historical dates, well documented, 586 to 587 BC. So if we go 50 times 50, we got the 2,500. And we take off the 0 year, the end of the big great Jubilee, will come to 1914, 1915. And with this method, we avoid all these the differences or the continuance of the Jubilees. And then we receive a year in which Brother Russell tied his chronology to. And it's an independent method to come to the same conclusion. It's an alternative view which takes us to a similar ending time. And maybe we'd like to refer to the days of Daniel.
I'd like to just observe, just make one comment, if it's okay. Of course it's okay. Yeah, if it's going to be a discussion, we'd like to just mention that just similarly to the 6,000 years, we can assume that that is a logical thought, that a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, so 6 days. Days is a day, time of work, and the seventh day is a day of rest. The Jews have a different idea why this would be a new multiplication of the number 6, that the letter Aleph, which is mentioned 6 times in the day of in the creation work, that will also be 6,000 years to the times of the Messianic times. But we should really accept that these arguments are somewhat speculative and that not as clear as a direct scripture. And similarly, even the parallel between the Christian and the Jewish homes, the 1845 years from the death of Jacob to the end of Israel's favor, which is 3.5 years of after the Lord's death, is based on one version of the chronological line, which I had shown could be shortened or extended by about 200 years. So it seems to be significantly affecting these calculations, but still we would need to have evidence why or a reason why 7 times 7 would somehow correspond to 50 times 50, because, for example, in Jewish thinking, 50 is an ending number. For example, 7 times 7 is a certain period, and 50 appears to be a number of perfection, of completeness, a day of rest. And maybe there doesn't have to be another layer to this calculation. I have one argument that perhaps is outside of the scriptures. Nowadays, the scientists wonder, are surprised that some mathematical calculations, which have been reached by reasoning, also are found in nature. So I don't know why it is that the numbers, even though they're found by mathematics, are supported by nature. And some mathematical rules find their reflection in other sciences as well. But let's move on to the days of Daniel. That is a teaching that is based on this specific verse of the 1260 days, which actually is also occurs in other places, both in Daniel and in the book of Revelation. So from the time when the continual sacrifice would be taken away, the daily sacrifice, the morning and evening sacrifice that was offered in Jerusalem, but not in the days during the days of Daniel, because he was in Babylonian captivity, but only so from the time when the desolation abomination will be set, it will be 1290 days, but blessed is the one who waits and comes to 1335 days. From this scripture, we know what the point of beginning is, but we don't really exactly know what was supposed to happen at 1290 days. We also know that some peculiar blessing was associated with 1335 days. Brother Russell, similarly to other thinkers from his times, accepted that the system that needs to be studied, the little horn on the beast who was causing great hurt to the believers, to the saints, through the whole period of the Middle Ages, was papacy. The Pope was imprisoned by Napoleon in 1798. But additionally, he was taken captive to France, and he died in jail. And until 1878, it was considered, that time was considered to be a great humiliation of papacy, and that it was a great taking away of his power and a reduction of persecution of Christians significantly. So that date was recognized to be the end of the power of the little horn. And so going back, it's easy to count that if 1260 days, which was the rule of the little horn, which we didn't really quote, that would be 1260 back, it would be 539, which is Justinian the Byzantian Caesar who spread his power onto Italy or Italia, present Italy, and he introduced his law there, which was codified a little earlier, and according to that law, which was in power almost till our modern era, till about the 19th century, Justinian's laws, the primacy in Christianity was to be held by the Roman bishop. And so in the 19th century, Christians recognized that it would be from that time that the days of Daniel should be considered, because it was then that this doctrine of the primacy of the Roman bishop was established. So if this is really the point of our beginning of the calculation, then where 1260 days starts and the 1290 days starts in 1829, and the times of blessing, which were to be resulting in some great blessing, 1335 days would fall onto 1874 AD, which Brother Russell recognized as the date of the return of our Lord, and he declared that date according to these calculations. But as we know, these views were accepted later by him around 1876. He became familiar with these views and accepted them at that time. So, really, this prophecy avoids the problem of a chronological line from before our era, because it starts only within our era from the dates which are quite reliably accepted and are not questioned. But we could just mention, just honestly, some other objections, so that those among us who believe otherwise or don't agree with this chronology, they understand that we do acknowledge these points, that we respect that there are some other arguments. The first one would be that does each prophecy have a day for a year? It does make sense, because we have prophecies that have this principle, I give you a day for a year, but does it make us interpret each prophecy about days in terms of years? Another question, in what sense does 539 mean that the abomination of desolation was actually established in that year? If we understand that Daniel, when he wrote these words, Daniel understood that continual offering, that morning and evening offering, which was offered in the temple. And maybe it's easier to explain that the abomination of desolation can be interpreted slightly differently, and we understand that our friends Catholics, for example, would agree that the understanding of papal power was not very favorable, was not very beneficial. We would call it the abomination of desolation. But how was it the removal of continual sacrifice? Well, we mentioned the Mass, but as we know, the Mass was actually in effect, was actually earlier. I need to reduce your time, so now we will go over to Brother Dariusz, to the times of the Gentiles. Let's let the translators rest for a moment. It may be hard for them.
I'd like to say that the times of Gentiles, according to most of the views, they encompass numbering, but what we must understand biblically, that these periods of time, what is hidden in them, and these views are more important. It's more important for me the return of our Lord, the promise of the kingdom, the jubilees, and the promise, what we call the times of the Gentiles. Because the times of the Gentiles is something that our Lord Jesus brought in. He foretold that Jerusalem will be trodden until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. Our Lord, I thought, is the authority on this. As he spoke about this, our understanding should be firm, that the times of the Gentiles are something we should focus on as well. Brother Russell said this when he referred to the prophecy of Daniel, when it's years, or in Hebrew, in times, in time, a period of time. You can translate it different ways, but it is formed from the vision of the prophet, and that's how we arrive at it. Looking at it, looking at 360 years, days in a year, in a prophetic year, multiplying seven times by 360, we get a time period of 2,520 years. Possibly, just as our Lord Jesus said, the times during which Gentiles would trod Jerusalem. We note that the Jews did not want our Lord to be their king. Our Lord Jesus then established a figurative Hebrew kingdom that will come shortly as a Jewish kingdom. He all of a sudden changes. It's stated that kingdom is trodden. And Daniel's prophecy mentioned that the trodding of Jerusalem, the seventh chapter of Daniel, the beast, it'll be in the plan of God. This time, Brother Russell accepted that it starts from 606 BC, as the volumes state this, and some explanations give 606, 607, 604, but I think our brethren here, if we like to discuss this, they'll notice what method, we'll notice Nebuchadnezzar, and from 607 BC, they stretch it 604 BC. So there's four years of war. So this could represent the 4 years of the First World War. That's from 1914. That's from that time. That's when Jerusalem starts coming back into the hands of the Jewish nation. That view was introduced by our Lord Jesus, foretold by the prophet Daniel, not only in one spot, but in numerous scriptures, that what God established as his kingdom will be trodden by beasts or by Gentiles. And I think it has a rather interesting approach. Maybe it's 2,520 years that bring us up to the year 1914, the year historians and politicians recognise as a critical year in the year of humanity. And when the world seemed to go in a different direction. Now, and I notice Peter has something to add or say. No, just a minute, Peter. Just hold back, Brother Peter. Well, let me finish. What one should remember from this view is this, that it is a biblical view that was introduced by Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a very appropriate time measure. Regarding the times of the Gentiles, I've got a few verses, and apart from our chronological calculations, we can look through the window of the TV, and one of my evidences is that it's finished, is that the Jewish nation has started to get its land back, and it is, some say, it hasn't got the full country, because the Jerusalem is still not totally theirs, but I think that we should, but the jurisdiction of this has been given to the Arabs, where they've got the Mosque of Omar, but for Protestants, it doesn't belong to Poland, for instance. But I'd like to view another method. It's a warning. It's the appropriateness of dates. If we accept that that the beast, the bad system that ruled the world from the fall of the nation of Israel, was Nebuchadnezzar, then his dream about the tree and the cutting down of the tree for 7 years. For 7 years, we're told, Nebuchadnezzar will have days that will be mixed up. There will be kingdoms, we can call them the crazy kingdoms. They didn't represent God. If we count seven years of error from 604, that the words were spoken to Nebuchadnezzar, from the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, then we'll get the year 1917, where when the Declaration Balfour was given and it started the return of the nation of Israel. That for me is, it's a calculation that really underpins my knowledge and what I see outside, that Israel received its kingdom and it's starting to be a nation of Israel and it's going to start the kingdom of God. That's why 1914, I'd like to, hang on, before we go into the historical facts, I've got another thought. Brother David Rice has got a view here. He can show you that there's the same 2,520 years from Jubilee calculation comes back to the start of the Jewish nation. So these parallels we can have lots of. And really, God, when he speaks about time, that the Gentiles would have trodden Jerusalem, he had an intention in his plan. I feel that my role, not so much a criticism, but we'll go to the prophecy about Nebuchadnezzar, where it was stated that the tree was hewn down for 7 years and then it regrew. We know that the fulfillment of this prophecy in Nebuchadnezzar, that who really for seven years was lost, he roved around like a raging wild animal eating grass. So, well, now, what method do we come through this prophecy to establishing that it is a time relating to the kingdoms of the Gentiles, the powers, the Gentile powers? The first is Babylon. First was Nebuchadnezzar. After 7 years, is a symbol for God's, and from him, these powers start. I don't want to question your thoughts, but I'd like to show that some points, that some interpretations may be interesting, but they are often of a margin of possibility of an assumption. Jerusalem will be trodden until the times of Gentiles, the seven periods. I didn't say that. He didn't say that, but until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. We have a joining from the trodding of the Gentiles and the ending of the times. I'm just approaching the method used, that Jerusalem is not trodden by the Gentiles. Jews are there, and to bring the jurisdiction back to the Jewish nation, they would have to ruin the Moscovoma and then overcome and have full power of Jerusalem. I would like to stress, in Jerusalem, the Gentiles still walk. A different version. I noticed a sculpture that there's also a trotting of Jerusalem. Brother Andrew, maybe we'll go to the next point. You want to refer to 1914 as the return of our Lord. I'd like to add something to the previous subject, but unfortunately I can't. Well, what has been fulfilled in the 1914 and what has not? We know that the expectation that the harvest would be completed in 1914 or 16 or 18, it wasn't fulfilled regarding the full destruction of Babylon or total anarchy and other happenings that are to come about after the end of the harvest. It was all too early for it. Secondly, the expectation that the church would be taken in 1914, although Russell said, we awaited Barber, as well as Brother Russell and other brethren who tried to keep this view. But the brethren expected that this will come about later, because the times of the Gentiles was the beginning of many occurrences through which the whole church was to be taken. Therefore, the taking of the church was to start after 1914, although mostly they speak about 1914 as that year. And now I'd like to see the plan of the ages. And I'll just get the plan of the ages. It looks like the first convention at Bush, there's no plan of the ages on the wall. Now we see the plan of the ages on the drawing. If we look at the plan of the ages, we shall see the end of each age, end of each harvest. There is a broken line. Now, I don't know whether you can see it. Yeah, you can. It's faint. Believe me, it's a broken line if you can't see it from the back. This indicates that the length of a harvest can only be noticed at the end of the harvest. How do we know that the Jewish harvest lasted 40 years exactly? By the events that occurred later. We know this from history. Therefore, the gospel age harvest, you can only speak about it when the harvest is complete. One more rather interesting idea. Brother Russell drew that the harvest of the gospel age would be longer than the harvest of the Jewish age. And the plan of ages is independent. What was the expectation at a particular time? And you can't talk about everything if something hasn't fulfilled. But I'd like to mention one thing. Although time of depression coming onto the earth from 1914 to 1874 to 1914, from 1914, when the First World War began, the decrease of the worldly kingdoms. How many expectations at that time the church was to be complete? That all things associated with the end and the times of the Gentiles were to be completed by the church, but the church was not complete. Therefore, 100 years, we have events that are written in the prophecies that when noticed at the start, Christ was to complete with a completed church. For example, the hitting of the stone by the image when it was time of the Gentiles. During Brother Russell's time, the stone was to be Christ and the complete church. But the church was not completed. And the idol shows us the pagan kingdoms. Therefore, the striking of the image was not done by the completed church because it was not complete then. And what's interesting here, three brethren went ahead. They held a view from 1914 that all of this is to be done by the completed church. Nothing is happening today. In other words, that there is no great time of trouble. The time of Gentiles isn't finished and so forth. And many either many of these views come about from Brother Russell's views on 1914, that all be completed. So we should be very careful when we look at this.
Let's briefly comment. What is the approach to chronology in the respective countries you're from? Well, I think that in the U.S., as everywhere, I believe, the attitude toward chronology is what you see in the different ecclesias. There are some perspectives that are extreme that say that perhaps in 1914 the high calling was over, but they are few and far between, perhaps not worth mentioning. But there are also brethren who believe that the times of the Gentiles would be finished in the future. And I think that's also a minority view. But majority of the brethren appreciates the views of Brother Russell. It's frequently studied and considered. That's often considered where perhaps some adjustments or changes are needed. Others feel that the changes are not necessary, and they feel that what Brother Russell wrote during his days should not be corrected, but rather it should be accepted as a work of the faithful servant. But there is not a single line of reasoning that would force anyone to anything or in this view. And it's really a subject of our studies. And I think it is good, because one of the dangers that we have when considering these topics is when we feel that there's just one correct thought, and that if someone does not accept this view, then there is a problem. Another danger, Brother Dariush, is also that when we know about differences of views, we simply just don't talk about it at all. And I do feel that there is an attitude like that among brethren in my circle, that on the one hand, the chronological teachings are not simple. They do require a lot of various branches of knowledge, both biblical, historical knowledge, and if you want to do a good job and not just remembering one line of reasoning and sticking to it. So it is a complicated study. And so few brethren in my country, in Germany, possibly also in France or England, by themselves undertake this study. But of course, the teaching of Brother Russell is well known. But I don't know of a public preaching with conviction some chronological views. Those who specialize in it, just like in the United States and in many cases in Poland, there are brethren who are specialists in this study, and they really have an in-depth knowledge, and they increase our knowledge of this subject matter. But unfortunately, in our countries, there are just few of us. Perhaps in the Western Europe, we have about 300 brethren, and among them, I don't see persons who would be specialists in the chronological teachings and would gladly speak to them in conventions. I don't see a lot of evidence in interest in chronology. But I believe that that's the case. And also that because this is a teaching that causes dissent and conflicts, it might be best not to talk about it publicly. And unfortunately, I feel that this is not a correct perspective. I feel the opposite, that especially when there is a difference of opinions, we should discuss that, we should talk about it, and we should, in the spirit of liberty, discuss it to find what the truth is. Like what Brother Dariush said at the beginning, that when we consider chronology, we learn the Bible and history thoroughly, and then we begin to think in terms of periods or dispensations, as Brother Russell would have said. And I think this is very important to see the different periods of God's plan and trying to penetrate and understand the design in God's mind, not only looking at my own person, my own life, because God is interested in much more than just our private personal life. And how is it in Poland? In our recent gathering of elders from across the different ecclesias, most of the brethren supported the interpretation or the views of Brother Russell from the second volume. We also agreed that the end of Gentile times does not immediately mean the beginning of the kingdom, and also that the lack of fulfillment, one of the teachings about 1914 would mean that other teachings about 1914 should be dismissed. But apart from the main stream among the brethren, there are two other views. One is that completely negates calculating chronology, and others that another view that is very closely tied to chronology, even down to calculating the value of Hebrew words and prophesying in calculating certain prophetic events. And this movement was active before, but and still there are some, there's a residue of it, but it's not the view of the majority. And how is it in the Ukraine, Brother Andrzej? You should probably mention the chronology by Brother Wiśniewski. Yes, I did mention him without the name. Yeah, those would be the brethren who in Poland did influence our fellowship. Yes, it was a movement with a great influence, because I remember that when I consecrated in 1978, I was discussing this with someone, because it was calculated that 2 months ago, High Calling had closed. The High Calling had closed. And so when I was considering notions such as the High Calling or the arrival of the kingdom, as men we put forth some dates and say that the High Calling was closed, then we see that this seems to be an exercise in foretelling the future, in that if the Lord saw it fit to open the High Calling by sending Cornelius and opening the way to the Gentiles, how can we as men close the door by putting forth some dates? So we do have to mention this in context of chronology, because it does affect our daily practical life. It won't be a few words. In Ukraine, when I was a child, I remember Brother Wiśniewski visited us, and the author of that chronology mentioned earlier, and he showed the different diagrams and drawings, and he was explaining this to us, what the brethren just mentioned, and it was very interesting. They looked at it with their mouths wide open. But it did not have an effect on many. Some of them accepted that chronology, but more of them were kind of skeptical about it, because they felt it wasn't exactly the time when harvest would be ending. We often heard, maybe it's now, even when the war came, the Second World War, we thought it was then. But the brethren felt that we walk by faith and not by seeing, not by sight. So I think that was probably the only thing that kind of stood out in Ukraine. In Moldova, the situation was somewhat different. The brethren, for many years, had believed that the High Calling had ended in 1914. They did not see the understanding of the Epiphania. They had some connections with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that was the case until the early 1990s. Then the brethren from France, Brother Wozniak, Brother Dembski, visited the brethren in Moldova, also the brethren from the States, and also from Ukraine. And we talked a lot with the brethren there. Why we felt that the High Calling was still in effect, especially based on the 1916 forwards. And the brethren accepted that the High Calling was still
open, and we are so happy because we see so many brethren here from Moldova.
What's your view of chronology? I think what's been already mentioned, it's quite clear. That firstly, I'd like to state that to be interested in chronological teachings, biblical chronological events, in order, and how long they were mentioned by Brother Daniel, is very interesting, and it's very educational. Also, is teaching to be interested about the roots of our truth movement, what really started at the beginning, and we should know this and be acquainted with it, and to be able to know how the methods of calculations were used. And just to satisfy oneself, like myself, knowing these fundamental points and the differences and the difficult times of trying to explaining why do we accept 6,000 years? Why do we accept 2,520 years? What sort of what's its source? And I must admit that for myself, I'm a bit skeptic to these. I'd like to rely on the words of the apostles, the prophets, and our Lord Jesus, and by observing the signs of the times. But I must stress, Brother Russell, for 40 years, when he taught that in 1914 there will be something grand. So he was known for this, and that's what exactly happened. In 1914, had great meaning historically. The inspiration was there, noticing how many different differences there are in chronology, and to get this exact date of 1914 as to the time of the year, even it is it's a great inspiration, or just management. But I think it's less from chronological aspects, but from God's influence, and that influences thinking. And I accept this, but I leave chronological teachings leave them where they were left in 1914, and I like to rely by observation of the signs of the times, and I am convinced that our Lord Jesus, his parousia started, and the time of restitution, that this time to establish the kingdom, the Messianic kingdom on earth, is come. But I wouldn't try to use exact chronological calculations, but use facts, facts that we see, that we can really see it more clearly, and use those arguments, and that's my stand. I'd show one slide. If the brethren could just switch over, it'd be good to see this. And when the time came to fulfilling of the times, God sent his son, who was born from a woman. God states there is a time that has to be fulfilled. The time of chronology is very important. And seeing what Brother Russell achieved in his works, we should cherish this. And we should come to this and notice it and take note of it. Similar like a child with washing. Some brethren wanted to foretell exactly this or that. And really they throw out the current teachings, and I think that's not right. I'd like to give you a story of one of the wars in Israel. Israel, they achieved the following, and they took all their air force towards Egypt, and before the border they were told to turn back. And when the planes came to Egypt, when the plains would have come to Egypt, the Egyptians were ready. But Israel turned the plains back and put them back. They did the same next day. They sent the plains, and again on the Egyptian border they turned back. After 2 weeks of these manoeuvres, a moment of attack came. No one in Egypt expected it. The planes came, bombed the targets, achieved their goals. The system of alarms in Egyptians was actually turned off because it wasn't working. If we don't use a similar understanding about the times and what God has said, what he said in his Bible, that everything has its time, there is a time for everything, and if we don't become interested in this, we will not have a full blessing, and that should be for us encouragement for young brethren to look into what Brother Russell wrote and to be acquainted with it. And there are some difficulties, some inaccuracies, maybe some holes you'll find, some new findings, but our duty is to know them and what is your opinion on these. And we should not miss the blessing of looking into Brother Russell's works. I asked a chess player, why does he think so long? Why doesn't he make a quick move? And he said, a good move comes straight away in one's mind. And it takes an hour to make a move. To be sure of making the right move, and it takes me an hour. And these different moves today, what is the right chronology? We as children of God, not only as Brother Daniel mentioned, that we look for the truth and we know the truth, we think that there are methods, we should be sure that the chronology is appropriate because it was overruled by God. And we are very happy that all these things were fulfilled, except for the assumptions. And when there was an estimation that the church will be taken earlier than anticipated, and we rejoice that the church has not yet been completed. I think the chronology and the setting of God of certain facts will be important in the future as we look today. At the 70 weeks, we look at that. How couldn't the people recalculate when Jesus would be born exactly? This prophecy wasn't used by an evangelist, but it's clear to us. And that's what probably will happen in the future with people, when God will beautifully has set everything in his own order, and people will speak about God's wisdom that is above all. Summing up this discussion, I'd sum up a little story. I'm sure not many of you know how to find your way to Warsaw. If someone would give us that it's 350 kilometres, go that way, you'd hop in your car, how the kilometres go. And 350th kilometre will come up, and what you'll find, are you in Warsaw? Or are you a bit before? And you had to be diverted. But this would have helped you, but some others, those who sit at the back, they don't watch the speedometer, they look at the window. And when they come and they see bigger buildings and skyscrapers, they assume that it's Warsaw, not watching their speedo, an odometer. And so we can look at the dates that can assist us, but we can look at the window, look at the signs that are around us, and they also will confirm where and where we are in the signs and the times. So don't expect that you'll see a sign, the kingdom of God, and what year, and then we'll know we're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God comes in stages, and the events that happen that we notice that it will come shortly. Dear brethren, if you have questions, we are not able to answer them, and we haven't got time, but there are nights for discussions, and we can discuss, but unfortunately our time has come to the end, and I'd thank the brethren for their lively discussion, and for you for listening to us. Sorry for the interpreters that have had a hard time. Maybe we spoke too quickly. Thank you. Maybe I translated too quickly too for you, for my foreign accent. Thank you, brethren, for this interesting discussion. We shall close. with hymn and prayer. And before the brethren become ready